There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1206 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. You know, some days it's always a good thing to do the show. It's what I chose to do and I get to do for a living. It's a great thing. Some days are easier than others. This one, tough to watch. Tough to watch as we're watching right now. By the way, Dow has been shut down. Right now, we have gone into one of those pauses again. This, of course, later in the day. S&P 500 dropped 7%, triggered that 15-minute circuit breaker. You know, we've seen those in the mornings sometime. We're seeing one right now. We've got like 5 minutes left here until they open up trading again. So right now, we're in the penalty box. And some of the numbers today. I guess benchmarks, if you will, in a negative way, but benchmarks nonetheless. The Dow has now dropped and lost everything it has gained since President Trump took office. The 30 stock index of the Dow has now fallen below the level where it was when the inauguration for President Trump took place on January 19th of 2017. That is, remember all the new levels that we had reached and all the gains, and we talked about the meteoric rise and look at the volume, look at the numbers here. I gotta tell you, President Trump has spent a lot of his time talking about, you know, the market. Look what the market's done during his time in office. I've said the same thing. Look what the market's done during his time in office. And for something that's a disease or a virus, in this case a contagion, right, to undermine that has been amazing. And amazing, not in a good way, but amazing to sit back and watch. And it's one of those things when you think you have, I know how the world works, I know how things go, and then you see things like this. And you go, wow. With that, we start the show. That's the market reaction. Of course, there are two parts, at least, to the coronavirus discussion. There's the healthcare side of this and what is being done, the fight against the virus, and then there's a watch of the economy. And believe me, in my capacity, what I do here, I would love nothing more than to come on and tell you rah, 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 and everything's looking great today, but it didn't. What I do feel, though, is maybe the faster this happens, we reach the bottom and start coming back up. And there's plenty of people out there that are buying stocks at bargain prices today, and that starts to maybe put a little bottom to this and turn it around. But the question is, what happens next? And that's a lot of what scares Wall Street, right, when it doesn't know what happens next. And I don't think any of us can say, you know, what happens next. The president just finished up a press conference a little earlier talking about the push here. You've got, of course, the two-part deal. You've got part of this discussion, what we're doing to get people to not spread the coronavirus, keep the people who can least afford getting the coronavirus to get it. We're working on that. Okay. At the same time, you got Mnuchin and all working on the fiscal policy here and the checks to go to American people and who gets bailed out, who doesn't get bailed out in this. It's a lot going on here. This has come up today. You'll probably hear some more about this going forward, but this came up today because President Trump in yesterday's, hour and a half, hour and 40-minute presser, talked about Americans need to take 15 days. Remember that? The 15 days that you need to stay off the streets, don't associate, in big crowds, do all the things that the president had talked about, then the warnings that were coming out of Dr. Fauci when he talked. Here's what we need to do. There's a move out today I've seen that's talking about making it, what somebody called it, Spring Break 30. And people said, well, if we just stay away from each other for 30 days, stay in our homes, and this will be over. And I think probably scientifically there's a lot of truth to that, right? You starve the coronavirus of any new host. But even in our cyber-connected world and all that, can the United States of America, can we all stay away from each other for 30 days and not have serious, serious impact to our way of life going forward? We may get a chance to see that. By the way, as the we talked about this morning, the oil price is dropping. Now the refined product, one of the refined products, gasoline, a story we saw here from Fox 5 saying gas prices could hit 99 cents in some states due to the coronavirus and supplies. The folks over at Gas Buddy, you know, we always talk about the Gas Buddy prices around here. Gas Buddy analyst Patrick DeHaan said the national average could hit $1.99 with $1.49 on the horizon, and some stations potentially pricing a gallon of regular as low as 99 cents. Said the last time prices dropped below $1.60 was in December 2008 during the financial crisis after falling from a high of $4.10 that July. They said the U.S. average hit $2.24 yesterday, down 20 cents from a month ago, with Oklahoma prices the lowest at $1.84, Hawaii the highest at $3.47. 10 states currently have prices below $2. Of course, we're one of those here in Alabama. So that's a question, too, that we're going to talk about as revenue, as go gasoline prices, go other revenue that comes to the government. And we come back, we'll talk about the national perspective on this deficit that's being incurred to fight the coronavirus, whether fight it directly in the health front or to fight the economic impacts of it. But what about at the state level, where the state can't print up money, can't borrow that money? What do we do? State Senator Chris Elliott joins us next. That's part of what we'll talk about. Stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:16, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along. Phone number, text line 343-0106. Website, fmtalk1065.com. The Twitter feed, at fmtalk1065. Facebook, just look for that fmtalk1065 brand on there. You'll see it also on Instagram. All right, I mentioned as we went into the break that I would do what is probably not the most popular kind of radio to do on a day like today, but maybe it's very popular, actually, because it's what needs to be done. And with due respect to State Senator Chris Elliott, who picks up the phone and talks to me about this, we're going to roll on. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Watching, obviously, we're all there. The two fronts, and we discussed the healthcare front in Alabama that we can talk about some, but neither of us physicians. So that's one part of the discussion. But as both being Alabamians, you happen to be somebody who's a duly elected senator here in the state of Alabama, who's going to try to figure out what to do about balancing the budget here when we were just talking about the revenues in the state, right? I mean, how good we've looked over the last year. This was a different scenario for our state in budgeting. And now, well, I don't know what the numbers are, and hopefully this is the end of it, but I'm not going to be a Pollyanna here and say things are going to be easy when it comes to getting a budget done for Alabama.
Well, yeah, and I think you're absolutely right to question that. I mean, we left Montgomery really last week looking at the highest cotton, if you will, we've seen in Alabama in some time. And anybody that's driven past a cotton field after a storm and seen all the cotton on the ground, you know you got a problem.
Well said.
And that's essentially, I think, where we are right now. The work that the budget chairmen have done to try to get us to the point where we're ready to vote on a budget and the negotiations that take place to get there, I think, is pretty much out the window.
That's what I was wondering. I mean, are y'all going to, good you said that. I mean, y'all just got to start over?
I don't know that you completely start over, because frankly, to continue with the agriculture analogy, I mean, some of that hay's in the barn, right?
Yeah.
But not all of it. And the issue is, okay, what are the projections going to be for the balance of the revenue that's supposed to come in, and then even projecting out beyond that for the following year, what is this impact going to be long term? And Sean, we just don't know the answer to that yet. I mean, if this is a 2-week, 3-week event, and then we're back to normal and everybody goes, wow, that wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be, then from a revenue side, from the state and local government and municipal government standpoint, that's one thing. We'll take a dip. It'll be a hard dip, and it will be rough, but it will be survivable. If we have a 9-month event, then the answer is very, very, very different. And I guess the good news here is we haven't passed those budgets yet, so we still have an opportunity to change them. If this had happened a month later, then the likelihood that those budgets would have already been passed would have been much greater, and we would not have had the opportunity to adjust them.
You know, I look at the situation with what's happening out of Washington, where they have the luxury of the borrowing and the printing and what the Fed does. You don't have that here at home, and they can make moves in Washington to try to bail out entire industries or the American people or whatever it is, but that at best that trickles down to state coffers at best.
It does, and in large part, you know, state government funds is the largest employee in very many communities. It's usually to the school system, right? That's the biggest employer in most cities and most counties around the state. With an education trust fund budget that is flush, or was projected to be very flush, with everything from raises to additional funding for schools and school programs, you know, we may see a contraction there. You know, a $1 billion bond program that was announced, you may see some contraction there, necessary to just make sure we don't overspend, knowing full well that we've got a contraction coming here from a revenue standpoint.
You know, in years or times when the contraction's coming and we have a lot of warning, right, in this, then at those points, I probably ride a little heavy on folks in the legislature. Y'all should be doing something. Y'all should be doing something. Why aren't you doing something? This is one of these cases you won't hear that from me. Came and not even a regular cycle, a pathogen, a contagion, driving this. It's one that I hope y'all are ready for, because you had no warning, and I'm not going to give you grief. I'm praying for y'all. I really am.
Well, I appreciate that, and we'll take them. I will say though, you know, back when the governor made her State of the State address, I had some comments that said, okay, look, we went from being really flush to all of a sudden we're borrowing against the future and we're moving on, and you know, when we're spending everything we had, and I think that, you know, the principles of fiscal discipline and real fiscal conservatism is planning as much as you can for unforeseen events as well. I mean, look, the government is not there to save a bunch of tax money, to tax and then to save it and put it in an account somewhere. I mean, we need to be providing the services with the money that we raise, but we also need to be able to smooth out the dips. And to the extent that we can be fiscally responsible here and smooth out what I hope is a dip and not a crevasse, then hopefully we can continue services at this level without the public feeling a noticeable, dramatic impact year over year.
Yeah, well, we're talking about that, and the governor talking about having this money put back. And I mean, there were those of us back then saying, yeah, that's a good idea. We need to do some things, make sure that we're lean and efficient, and we have some way, because we were talking about back then just the track record of the last decade, or even 5 years, 6 years, with budgeting, we'd be in a bad pickle, and it'd be BP money would save us, or it was a federal infusion of money would save us, or something like that at the last minute. And we knew that eventually there wouldn't be another, $20 bill in the jacket pocket to save our budget that week. And we're looking at it now.
We are, yet again. And I do not expect, and anything that I've heard, everything rather I've heard out of Washington is that we're, you know, the administration is trying to get money in the hands of people that are impacted by this immediately. And that will help keep them alive and moving and going and financially viable. They are trying to get money in the hands of businesses to stay alive and to continue to go and move. I mean, I've had plenty of those conversations over the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not seeing go back to an Obama stimulus package type thing, any direct assistance to the state, for instance. Those types of things are not being discussed in D.C. right now, from what I can tell or what I'm hearing.
So
we're going to have to back up from what we are expecting to be largesse and take a much more prudent approach and pensive approach to budgeting. And I'm just glad we have the opportunity to do that now, as opposed to, again, a month or a month and a half down the road where we already would have passed these budgets.
What does it do to, okay, for example, let's look at the prison issue. Right, and here we are. Been saying for the last 3 or 4 years or more that this is going to happen. That there's a chance of federal receivership if we don't make these changes. We know these changes are going to cost money, and it was already a point of contention when we thought we were, air quotes here, flush with revenue. What happens now? Can we make those changes? Can we afford to make those changes? Do the feds give us a pass because of the economy? What happens?
That's a good question. The short answer is I don't know. I think that the state has shown the federal government that we are very much willing to make adjustments where we can and where they are practical and economically feasible to make those changes in order to avoid a federal receivership. It is important to note that I do not think that the feds want to take over Alabama prison.
Right.
They want us to work towards fixing the issues so that they do not feel that they have to. If we continue to show good faith and that we are working towards that within our means, I hope and would certainly argue that they ought to let us do that. I think that they will be sensitive, based on my conversations with them, to our economic realities, especially as it relates to this issue, and hopefully would not hold that against us. It may take longer, and we may need to take longer to address prison construction than trying to move that through during this session, if you will.
Let's get a kind of a nuts and bolts discussion here about this session. What are you hearing? Because, I mean, y'all are on spring break now, but, you know, the president talked about 15 days. There's a movement going on right now, what is spring break 30, that we need to double that, make it 30 days if people stayed away from each other. What happens when y'all are supposed to go back into session in Montgomery?
Well, from an infectious disease transmission standpoint, I think that the Alabama State House has got to be probably the worst possible situation to
mm-hmm.
be in.
Mm-hmm.
That's not saying anything negative about lobbyists necessarily, but I just simply say it. You've been there, Sean. It's
I'm not coming to visit until this gets passed. And I each year, you know, I'm up there. I don't know that I'm ready to come up there this year.
Well, and I don't blame you. And I think that what we need to do is look at what we have to do or required to do by law. We're in recess until the 31st, the Senate is, and I think the House has followed suit. They were supposed to come back a week earlier. I think we're in recess until the 31st. I think that is likely going to be extended. There are a couple of different mechanisms, what leadership decides to do in order to effectuate that is going to be up to them. But I would expect that to be extended some. You may see a special session later this summer if we're not able to complete the work. And the work of the legislature really is passing a budget. Everything else is,
All right. Is
you know, hopes and dreams and desires and wants, and I got mm-hmm. plenty of those, but that's not what we're there for. We're there to pass a budget. So at the end of the day, the budget's priority one. I would hope that this passes by and that we're able to take some measures there at the State House to decrease the number of people in the State House. I would definitely be in favor of closing the State House to visitors and lobbyists and just say, thanks, guys, you know, we're just allowing members and support staff in and to do that work. I would be in favor of that. But I think that if the health officials tell us that it's okay to go back into session, that we ought to get back in and deal with these budgetary concerns sooner rather than later. And as soon as we have a good idea of what the outcome of this is going to be.
Well, couldn't y'all, do it in teleconference style. I mean, my, heck, my kids are at home today doing school online, right? They're doing online learning. Couldn't you all link it all through, or is that not possible?
A lot of the questions and a lot of the discussions and a lot of the actual bill writing that happens, the budgeting that happens, you know, none of that really happens on the floor.
Right.
We would still have to be on the floor in order to vote. We'd have to have quorum and can do that. It's easier in the Senate than it is in the House.
Sure.
Because there's only 35 of us. There's 105 of them. But we, I think that distance could be maintained. I don't think that's necessarily a big problem. But I think smaller meetings could be had. Certainly we could use teleconferencing and all kinds of emails and everything else. That's really how this business gets done anyway. You just go on the floor in order to officially vote. But my understanding is we would absolutely have to be physically there in order to pass a budget.
So if we pass by May and the time period set, then whenever you come back, whenever that would be, that would be a special session. Even if you're doing general business, it would be a special session.
There's some provisions in the rules that allow for the meeting days to be to be extended somewhat.
Okay.
And we're looking at that right now is exactly how we would do that. But the short answer is the governor could very easily call a special session later in the summer if needed, or in the midsummer, early summer, whatever the situation required, in order to get us back in to make what's necessary happen.
State Senator Chris Elliott, thank you for making time for us today, and I'll be checking back with you real soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We're coming back. Just a perspective there on what happens in state government. So many people focused on what's coming out of Washington and important news there, but what happens back here at home? Speaking of back here at home, some breaking news, and we'll get to the full story after the news update here. But the headline from WSFA in Montgomery, Alabama Hyundai plant closes after employee tests positive for coronavirus. So this is on the manufacturing side. I know the physical scale of that plant is huge. We'll talk about the number of people that work there when we come back. Plus a press conference from EMA going on as well. We'll get details. You'll stay right there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and we'll head to this press conference, EMA press conference, already rolling in just a second, but I do want to finish the rest of that story quickly here from WSFA-TV. Hyundai Motor Manufacturing Alabama has announced that it's sending its employees home and closing its automobile production plant after a team member tested positive for COVID-19. This in the memo from Hyundai. It says HMMA is suspending production in all areas for all shifts beginning 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, March 18th, 2020. HMMA has already deployed additional sanitation measures across the entire facility and will now follow ADPH, that's Alabama Department of Public Health's, protocols for disinfecting the affected work area. HMMA will confer with ADPH and the CDC to determine if additional measures should be taken. They went on to say here, the health and well-being of our team members, top priority for our company. Once HMMA's environment, health, and safety team has determined the affected areas have been sufficiently sanitized and production is safe to resume, our team members will be informed. Okay? So, once again, that's to be announced kind of thing. But right now they have shut down. That's a big, big plant. I mean, you see it, I think we all see it when we go to Atlanta, right? You drive there, you see that Hyundai plant. So that's big news. And now Dalton, you walked in here a second ago, and Dalton said not only that, but this is breaking news here from Detroit as we talk about automotive manufacturing. And you said, what has come out here about the big three?
Yeah, so CNBC and the Associated Press both reporting the big three automakers, Ford, General Motors, Fiat Chrysler, all plan to close all of their U.S. auto factories. They made a deal with the United Auto Workers Union there, who was worried for their workers and the potential of catching the virus, but that's the other big news here. Ford, Fiat, Chrysler, and General Motors
all
announcing that they're going to shut down all U.S. factories for now.
Okay, for now, is did they give a term? Is it like upon government announcing this, that, or the other? Or are they doing their own sanitation?
The Auto Workers Club asked them to cease production for 2 weeks. So this might be another one of those shut down for 2 weeks and reassess afterwards. But they are definitely closing for now.
All right. So that's news from the automotive front. I want to pick up with this Baldwin County EMA news conference on the coronavirus in Baldwin County. Let's go to that let's go right now. It's already in progress.
At this time, I'd like to introduce our next speaker, which will be Zach Hood from the Baldwin County Emergency Management Agency.
Good afternoon. I'm Zach Hood, the Emergency Management Director at Baldwin County EMA. I'm honored to have you join us today, and it's overwhelming. Support from the community has been incredible to see as we help each other get through these difficult times. Just like you, I myself have been taking same precautions and protecting not only me, but my family as well. And I ask for your continued support in support of our public health partners and the messaging that they are passing along for our county to follow. My background is emergency management, and in emergency management, we have always known the possibility of dealing with infectious disease is real. We are familiar with dealing with infectious disease, and we are familiar with working with the Alabama Department of Public Health on these issues. As we move forward, we are continuing to strengthen our relationship and work together toward common goals set forth by the Alabama Department of Public Health. At the Emergency Management Agency in Baldwin County, we are monitoring and looking at 7 lifelines, critical lifelines here in our community. They are as follows: safety and security, food, water, sheltering, health and medical, power and fuel, communications, transportation, and hazardous material. What we do with these lifelines is we evaluate them to determine what or where is the greatest need for support from emergency management. I would like to point out all, with the exception of one of our lifelines, are green. These lifelines are rated either green, which is good, yellow, needs attention, and red, really needs support, resources, and our expectation is that our immediate needs and resources are addressed to those that are red immediately. As you will notice, health and medical in our community is identified as yellow. And what I ask as an emergency management director for Baldwin County is that you help us achieve the status of green with health and medical by following the guidelines set forth by the Alabama Department of Public Health. We can come together and do the best good if we follow the guidelines that our partners have given us to follow. We will continue to evaluate our 7 critical lifelines, and hopefully next time that we speak, we can improve the status of our current lifeline. We know that all of you are impacted, and we appreciate you taking the opportunity to not only join us, but helping us share one consistent, concise information about our community and our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach, for those comments. Next, we have Commissioner Billie Jo Underwood. She will be our next presenter.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this special press conference. As a representative of the Baldwin County Commission, I am Commissioner Underwood, and I would just like to let everyone know that we care about the people of Baldwin County, and by passing the local declaration for the state of local emergency. That was because we realized that we needed to take some action so that we can do what we can do to help contain this potential threat to the community. And we care about the people who come to Baldwin County, the people who live here. We've taken some measures with our own buildings. We've closed our buildings to public access, but we are still functioning as a government. So we still have everything available that can be done online or through the mail. And I would like to encourage everyone to exhibit kindness and respect during this time frame. Please stay tuned to our social media outlets. We have a full team here at the EMA, and our call center is pumping out really good information. It's the correct information that's coming down from the proper sources, which are the CDC, the Alabama Department of Public Health. We have a Facebook page, we have Twitter, we have Instagram. So whatever your pleasure is on that, please like our page, like the Baldwin County EMA page so that you can stay up to date. And all I'm asking is that everybody just, you know, stay calm, wash your hands. I know that statement is getting, you know, overused, but it is so important. I know we're in a state right now where everybody's scared to cough, everybody's scared to sneeze. You know, we're more aware of our body functions, just that, you know, standing here, you know, I want to get my hair out of my face right now, and it's just so difficult. But you guys, we care about you. Call in to the COVID-19 hotline if you have questions about your health. And anything that we can answer, call into our call center. They're equipped to answer a lot of questions about Baldwin County. Thank you very much.
I'll tell you what, we'll pause here and we'll rejoin that presser in just a second. Run to the news break. Body function awareness, Dalton. Let's work that into the lexicon. Body function awareness. All right. Coming right back, get a little bit more of this. And from Washington, it looks like, yeah, we're good to go. Senator Doug Jones joins us in the next segment right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We have a chance next hour. We'll get back to that presser and pick it up where we left off in Baldwin County. Just further discussion of what we're doing at a county level to combat coronavirus and what's happening here at a state level as well. And then we'll look to the national story we've talked about so much, joined by Alabama Senator Doug Jones, straight from Washington, to talk about this. Senator, thanks for your time.
Hey, my pleasure, Sean. Anytime.
All right. I know y'all got votes going on. Help us understand that. I think, what, three bills have come out of the House here to deal with coronavirus in different ways? How many have y'all seen in the Senate?
Well, we haven't seen any at this point. That's been a frustration that we've had down here. Now, I will say there have been two bills in the last week that came out of the House. I mean, we all passed the $8.3 billion package 2 weeks ago. The House passed a version for late Friday night, early Saturday morning, but then they passed a similar version with some technical corrections Monday. That's the bill that we're going to be taking up in about 15 or 20 minutes. As soon as we get off the phone here, I'll probably be headed to the floor on one amendment and then on passage of that bill. We're working on a third bill now that we're going to stay up here to try to work on, that it will be an even bigger, bolder package of economic stimulus.
Okay. I've watched stuff happening in the House. How hard is it to keep the riders out of this stuff in the Senate? I mean, can y'all just lock down a deal with this and not have other pieces of legislation in there?
No, I say no, yes and no. First of all, you can't keep some people, and I'll just go ahead and call names. You can't keep people like Rand Paul from coming up with really stupid amendments that are going to get voted down, like the one we voted down early today as an amendment to this economic package to deal with coronavirus, an amendment that included a provision to end the war in Afghanistan by the end of the year. I mean, you just can't keep him from doing really dumb things like that. However, we're going to get this thing moving. We voted down. We've got two other amendments, I think, that will also be voted down, and then we'll get to final passage within about an hour, hour and a half, total final passage. And then behind the scenes, what's going on is there's a lot of work going on among the senators and their staffs to try to come up with the next big package. And there will be some stupider riders that go on that too, but they'll get voted down, and we'll pass a big bill.
What does this bill and the others, what does this look like back home in Alabama? What do we see from this?
All right, the first thing, you know, the first bill we passed a couple of weeks ago dealt with medical supplies and testing and research, those kind of things that can get on the front lines, trying to get more tests into people's hands, which we're now beginning to see around the state and around the country. This bill is going to deal with some immediate concerns with, for instance, the Secretary of Agriculture issuing waivers for states to increase the cost to allow school lunch programs, to SNAP benefits, to those kind of things to get people that are now having to stay home, including children that get school lunches and things like that. That's going to get them the benefit to be able to continue to be paid. Not paid, but get their lunches and get their SNAP benefits. The other thing we're doing is we're trying to make sure that we have the information in there that people can get a test at no cost. There's no cost sharing, no deductibles, no anything like that. It's those kind of things. Plus, again, we're still looking at trying to get testing and equipment out there. There's still going to be money that we've got to do. The front line on this, Sean, and I keep saying this over and over, and I think you heard it in the press conference in the White House today and yesterday and the day before, The way that we can get this economy stable right now is to blunt the growth of this virus. If we can do that, we will, and blunt the growth, we can start to recover quicker.
Okay, let's talk about this, though. And this is my worry, and this has been my worry since last week. Telecommuting is great. Working from home, that's great. You and I both know a lot of people that if they're not there, Senator, they're not getting paid. I mean, if you're working in the food service industry or running a framing crew, working on a job site, they're not getting a check.
Yes. And that's what the next package that's being worked on now, not the one that's going to come right, you know, today that we're going to be voting on, but the one that's in the works today that we will, I can't say we'll pass it this week, but it'll be this weekend. We're going to stay here until we get this third bill done. It will include some direct payments to people. It's going to include some things that give some ability for business to get some no-interest loans to make sure that they can cover some of these costs. The next round you're going to see is going to be a huge package, Sean. It's going to be probably $1 trillion-plus package that is going to put money directly in the hands of the American people and directly give the ability of the small businesses and the service industries and others the ability to stay afloat for a period of time. I don't think, quite frankly, it's going to be big enough from my standpoint. I think we're going to have to come back and do another one because I think this thing is going to get worse than a lot of people think it's going to be. But it is going to be a really big first step. It's going to get folks to be able to defer income tax payments until August or September. I can't remember the date. So this next round that I think will pass this week will be those kind of things that's going to get the money and get people direct relief into the hands of the American people. Those waitresses, those people that are in the gig economy, the service industry, those folks that and the small businesses who do not have the cash reserves to just kind of front people their pay for the next couple of weeks. I don't know all that's going to look at yet because, quite frankly, Senator McConnell and his guys are behind closed doors trying to work on something, and they haven't shared it with anybody yet. So we're looking at that. Still,
I want to just take one little side step here because you're talking about the tax issue. Will we still have to file by April 15th, but not pay or will?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you still have to file.
Everything kind of remains the same except this. You know, there's a lot of people that file by April 15th. Those people that file and expect a refund, go ahead and get it in there because you'll get your money. Okay.
Okay.
But whether you file by April 15th, or you seek that extension. You know, under current law, even if you don't file, if you get the automatic extension that it goes until April, you still got to pay your taxes
right
on April 15th, or you suffer a penalty and
yes.
some interest.
Interest, yes.
Yeah. Well, that is going to be waived
okay.
for a period of time, probably to at least August or September. That's what I'm hearing now. So you either file by April 15th, or you get the extension by April 15th. You don't have to make that tax payment until a date in the future, late in the summer.
All right. And then I want to circle back to this. You talked about this, the new bill, the $1 trillion, and we can get into the size of the spending down the road. But if we, and I don't believe Wall Street's an analog for We the People, but as y'all offer up, package after package, it seems like Wall Street is the very fussy infant, and it takes whatever you hand them and throws it on the floor and continues to cry. I mean, I'm watching the markets today. This is, even after all these things have been done, and the markets are continuing to tank.
Two things you got to remember, Sean. Number one, they haven't been done yet. And so the markets are looking at a couple of things. They're looking at an administration that has been very, very slow to react. We're way behind the curve on all of this. That's number one. Number two, they're looking at the fact that the American public is just now beginning to see how serious this is and taking the necessary steps to control the virus. This economy is going to come back, and the markets are going to come back after we've got this thing under some control, which we do not have now. And the third thing that is completely out of our control, and I think that we're trying to do something about it, oil prices have plummeted because the Saudis are ramping up production. And the price of oil is just going to the bottom, and that's creating some stressors on the market as well.
But doesn't that hurt in the short term? Kind of not at home, but in a realpolitik, doesn't it help us because it really punches the Russians in the nose when you do that?
Frankly, Sean, with all due respect, I really don't give a damn if we're punching the Russians in the nose at this point. I got to save the people that's got nosebleeds right here in the United States.
Right.
We do not we can't do things right now with an eye toward, are we going to help the stock market? We need to make sure we're helping people that are in the supermarket every day. They're the ones that need this help, and everything else will come into place at the appropriate time. We've got to get this. This has got to be in the hands of the American people, because unlike the Great Depression, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt could create all these incredible work jobs, federal jobs through infrastructure and all, we can't have people out there working right now. We're essentially going to be paying people to stay home and not spread this virus.
Senator Jones, appreciate your time. I have to get you back on soon. We'll watch for those votes today.
You got it, Sean. Anytime, just let us know. We're happy to get back on and try to get whatever updates we can. Thanks for keeping this alive and getting the information out there.
All right, Senator Doug Jones joining us here on Midday Mobile. We're coming right back. More on this story and your calls and text at 343-0106. We also take a little peek at Florida, what's going on down there. We'll do that next.